Hello, everybody. How are we doing today? Yeah, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed? Yeah, I wish I was. It's been a rough week health-wise. I went to Romania for some meetings for Insight for Living a week ago, and coming back on the plane, I think I picked up a bug. You know how sometimes you do when you're on an aeroplane and you're surrounded by dribbling children. And I picked up a bug, and then I gave that bug to Rosie, because what's mine is hers. And I think we've just been batting it backwards and forwards between us. So if I sound a bit throaty, if I sound a bit more bass than usual, that's the reason. I want to talk about changes and challenges. Changes and challenges. We always feel nervous when we encounter a new situation, when we find ourselves in a new circumstance. And I think it's a universal feeling. I mean, think back to your first day at secondary school. You remember that day when you were just terrified? You didn't know how to act. You didn't know how to behave. You didn't know who to talk to. You didn't know where to go. You just really needed somebody to help out. Or perhaps it was like that on your first day on that new job, where you didn't really know who your friends would turn out to be, and you didn't know where the coffee pot was, and you just didn't know anything about how to get paper clips and paper, and didn't know how to turn on your computer, that sort of thing. And you just need some help. You need a little encouragement. You need a little direction. Perhaps that first day at university, Jack, when you show up on campus and you're just mind-boggled by the whole thing. All these new people, these new ideas, these new trains of thought you're going to be introduced to. We need a little help. Or maybe it's that new relationship, that new bride or that new husband. And you're just newly married, and you don't know how to behave, and you don't know how to talk, and you don't understand how to relate yet, and it's been 36 years and 3 weeks and 2 days, and I still don't. We always need a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of help when our circumstances are new and unfamiliar. And that's certainly true of Joshua. For Joshua, in Joshua chapter 5, everything is new. Everything is different now. Moses is gone. They've left Moses on the far side of the River Jordan. They've crossed the Jordan. And now the Jordan has closed behind them. It's back in flood behind them. They can't go back. And if they want to go forward, they're going to have to deal with Jericho. The manna has stopped. They've been getting this bread from heaven every day for a generation, and now they're in the land, and for the first time, they've eaten the fruit of the land. They've made their own meals from whatever was growing in Canaan. The manna has stopped. Moses is gone, and Joshua is in charge. And it's all very new, and it's all very different. I'm sure he would have liked a little encouragement, a little helping hand, a little friend to show him around and let him know how to behave and let him know where to find shelter and safety, just like we do. Joshua needed help. I'm going to pick up his story with a remarkable encounter. I think it's perhaps a story that you're familiar with. I want to come at it today from the point of view of what we can learn for when our circumstances are changed, when we're in a new circumstance, when we're in a new situation. Where do we find our help? Now, as I've said, the people of Israel now, they've crossed the Jordan. Moses is no longer with them. They're fending for themselves now. They're having to find whatever crops, whatever fruit, whatever is available. And they have to deal with Jericho. because Jericho is an armored city. It's fortified, and it stands between them and the mountains of Judea. It stands between them and where they need to go. They have to deal with Jericho. And as I say, for Joshua, everything's new. He's never had to take a fortified city before. He's never had to lay siege to a city. He's had plenty of open battles. He's had sort of field skirmishes with people along the way. He's proved himself worthy in battle, but he doesn't know anything about siege warfare. They've got no machinery. They've got no timber. They've got nothing that you could possibly think of using to bring down a fortified walled city. It's all new, and he needs help. And I'm sure while he was sitting there in the shadow of those walls, perhaps, wondering what his next steps should be, he has a strange encounter. When Joshua was by Jericho, verse 13 of chapter 5, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. That would get my attention. I think it would get your attention too. Suddenly, as if out of nowhere, a warrior is standing there and he's ready. Doesn't say anything about Joshua being ready for a scrap, but this man is ready and his sword is drawn. Now, Joshua had been told by God and by Moses to be strong and courageous. That was part of his brief. That was part of how he was supposed to go about his leadership. He wasn't to be shy and retiring. He was to be strong and courageous. And he passes that test. This warrior who's appeared before him, we'll talk about who that is in a little while, but this warrior has shown up out of nowhere. And what does Joshua do? He hides behind a rock. No, he doesn't. Joshua went up to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries? Are you with us or are you with them? Are you for us or against us?" Joshua was strong and courageous. He walked right up to a man with a drawn sword and challenged him. He said, "Hey, I'm not afraid of you, but whose side are you on? Whose side are you on?" Now, I want you to pay careful attention to what this warrior says. Because honestly, the first time I noticed this, it hit me like a truck. Are you for us or for our adversaries? That is Joshua's challenge. And he said, the warrior said, "No." Excuse me? No? No? I just asked you, are you on their side or are you on my side? No is the answer. Isn't that a peculiar answer? That's not what you would expect. It's not what I would expect. It's not what I would be wanting to hear. I would want to hear him say, "Well, actually, I'm on your side." But he doesn't. "No. But I am the commander of the army of the Lord, the hosts of the Lord. And now I have come." You have to dig in a little bit deep to find out about what's going on here. This verse 14 of chapter 5, it constantly occupies my thoughts. Are you on our side or their side? No. I'm actually on God's side. That puts three sides into the argument, doesn't it? Three sides into the dispute over Jericho. Three sides into the conquest of Canaan. Three sides have to be considered when our circumstances change, when we meet our challenge. There's my side, there's my way, There's my opinion. There's my decision. There's their way, their side, their decision. And then there's God's way, and God's side, and God's decision, and God's opinion. What do you think the message is there? I'm not on your side, and I'm not on their side. I'm on God's side, and the only way you can be assured of victory, Joshua, is to join me. Can you see that? In the three sides, in any dispute, in the three sides, there's my side, there's the enemy's side, and yet there's God's side. And the only right way, the only right place is God's side. We have to move to Him when we're challenged, because it's only close to Him where the victory lies. Isn't that a fascinating idea? Well, it is for me. I mean, you can smile and nod if you want to, but I think this is incredible. The fact that when we meet a challenge, when we meet new circumstances, the first thing we should think about isn't what's my way, it's what's God's way. First day on university campus, it's not going to be what's my way, and it's not going to be what's their way. It's going to be what's God's way in this. What's God's way forward in this? First day at secondary school, if only I'd known. God's way is the way you go. Stay strong, stay courageous, but follow God. Don't chase off after your own ideas. Don't go with your own instincts. They will always let you down. But God's decisions, God's way, God's wisdom, well, there's success there. That's where the victory is. That kind of guidance must have come as a real assurance, a real strengthening for Joshua. And we can claim that same strengthening, that same assurance, because if we're doing things God's way, not relying on our own way, insisting on our own way sometimes, and not worrying about their way, not threatened by their way, if we're just doing things God's way, then we're winning. We're winning hands down, because it's where God's way lies that the victory lies. Well, Joshua, having realized that he was in the presence of something remarkable, he fell on his face to the earth, and he worshipped, and he said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Well, now we get a glimpse of who it is that he's talking to. Who is this divine warrior? My conviction is that this is actually Jesus Christ. My conviction is that this isn't an angel as such. This is a divine warrior, sure, but angels don't allow anyone to worship them. Angels always correct when somebody falls on their knees to worship them. They say, "No, no, no, don't worship me. I'm just a creature the same as you." Angels will never receive worship from men. One of them tried. Angels will never receive worship from men. So this isn't just an angel. It's not even an archangel. The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet. The place where you're standing is holy." Does that ring a bell? Does that ring a bell from the career of Moses? This is the same phrase, exactly the same wording as was used at the burning bush. And we all know that it was God talking to Moses in the burning bush. Same situation, same circumstances. This is God made visible.
And when that happens,
that's Jesus Christ at work. That's Jesus Christ before he was born, making God understood, making God visible, making God even approachable. You see how Joshua walked right up to him? That's exactly what Jesus Christ came to earth to do, to make God understandable, to make God approachable, to show God's way. And that's exactly what this divine warrior is doing. And I am convinced that this warrior is Jesus Christ on earth before he was born as Jesus, but appearing to Joshua to offer him encouragement, guidance, wisdom, and to set him straight on choosing sides. He wants to reinforce in Joshua's thinking that God's side is the only side that will win. And therefore, if you come to God's side, if you join God's side, then the victory will be yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. How many times do we see that played out? The battle belongs to the Lord. Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua wasn't so impetuous that he became arrogant. He was humble. He was more than willing to accept the instruction of this divine warrior, Christ on earth, telling him to take off his sandals and walk in humility. Be humble, Joshua. Be humble. Walk barefoot before your God. How do we find our encouragement from this story with Joshua? Anytime our circumstances change, and quite often that happens on a daily basis, no 2 days are the same in my life. I don't know about you. I don't have time to be bored because the goalposts keep moving sometimes. My work with Insight for Living has changed around a lot. I've talked to some of you about that. I'm now on a project to write a curriculum for training pastors to preach that will be rolled out globally by Insight for Living. It's going to be our official training manual for encouraging pastors to prepare a good message and deliver it well. And so I'm doing a lot less of what I used to do and a lot more of that. And I have to tell you that when I first heard the news that that was going to be my task, I was panicked. Because this is a big project. And everything is going to be different now. It's going to be new circumstances. I'll have a new sort of chain of accountability, and I'll have a new work rhythm. And there'll be things that I'll have to be thinking about that I hadn't had to think about before. We all get changes like that. We all get different circumstances like that. We all get breaks in the rhythm. And we have to be able to find assurance from the presence of Christ in our life that we'll be victorious. The victory is there if we stick close to God. And don't wander off and start choosing sides and insist on getting my way, or insist on denouncing their way. Just stay close to God's side, because that's where the victory is. Jesus, who has now come, notice how he says that to Joshua. He says, I am the Lord, I'm the commander of the army of the Lord, and now I have come. Well, for that instant in Joshua's life, that was true. Christ was on earth, and Christ was involved in Joshua's life at that moment. And he's involved in our lives too. He has come. And he's invested us with the Spirit so that we will know that he has come. And when our circumstances change, and when we meet our challenges, and when we don't know what to do about that next Jericho in our lives, we have to remind ourselves that he is now come. And he walks with us. And it's our task to behave the way he anticipates us to behave, Joshua's call was to be strong and courageous. And he was. That was how he was to behave. How are we to behave? In the age of the church, in the age of the Christian faith, how are we to behave? Well, I think you can sum it up in two sentences from the lips of Jesus. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus tells us that here is a good way to behave. Love the Lord your God with everything you have, heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love the Lord your God. Stay close to him with everything about you. Love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, love the people around you at least to the same degree that you love yourself. You take care of your own needs, don't you? Well, you should be looking to take care of your neighbor's needs too. You take care of your own appetite. Take care of the appetite of your neighbor too. Cook a few meals for somebody who can't get around so much. There's another commandment on there. Love the Lord God with all you have. Love your neighbor at least as much as you love yourself. But in John chapter 13, Christ says, a new commandment I give to you. A new commandment I give to you. By this you will know, by this they will know that you are my disciples, when you love one another just as I have loved you. Well, how much did Jesus love us? How much did Jesus love his disciples that night? How much does he continue to love us? Enough to give up his life, to lay down his life for us, that we might stand free and clean before God. He was willing to give away his life. He gave it on a cross. My suggestion to you in the church today is that we give it away a cup of coffee at a time, a little conversation, a little time spent with somebody who needs a helping hand. A little bit of your life given away day by day. That's how we should love one another. Give up your lives for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Help them. Support them. Nourish them. That's how we're to behave in this world, in this life, in this church. And we're to stay humble. Joshua signified his humility by taking off his shoes. And we should be in the habit of reminding ourselves about that. Remind yourself to walk barefoot with your God. Remind yourself to take off your shoes of arrogance and self-satisfaction once in a while. Slip your sandals off and walk barefoot and humble before your God. Be careful with your own ideas and your own imaginations. Remember, it's not your side and it's not their side. It's God's side you should be fighting for. It's God's side that you should be interested in. It's God's side. Think about that. The next time you think about that person that you're annoyed with, the next time you think about that person you've been quietly festering a grudge against for a little while. Think about that. It's not to do with him or me and what we want. It's to do with what God wants. And God wants you to love your brother and sister in Christ sufficiently to give away your life for them. All at once, as Christ did on the cross, or little by little on a daily basis, with encouragement, with prayer, with help, with conversation, with wisdom, with a listening ear. These are all the ways that we are to behave. Joshua, I am sure, was strengthened and encouraged no end by his encounter with Christ in the dusty, dusty road outside Jericho. And eventually we know the battle did belong to the Lord, and it wasn't anything to do with anything that Joshua could have dreamed up. I mean, can you imagine it? Just walk around the city. Walk around the city and blow some trumpets. Walk around the city 7 times and then blow some trumpets 7 times and then we'll all shout and God will give the victory. It's nonsense, isn't it? But to think that God had that battle in his hand. Yes, Joshua had to take the initiative and he had to do as he was told. He had to do as he was told, but when he did, when he didn't do my side or their side, when he did God's side, the victory came so sweetly. It came so easily. It came without lifting a sword against that walled city. God did that. God can break down the walls in any of your struggles, in any of your challenges, in any of your problems. God can break down the walls, but you have to remember, you do it God's way, because that's where the victory lies. Pray with me, please. Our Father, you sent your son to encourage Joshua. I'm convinced of it. And we know that you sent your son to earth to explain yourself, to make yourself known to us and approachable to us, to be approachable. And so, Father, help us to bear in mind that as we choose sides in this life, day by day, remind us, Lord, to make sure that it's your side that we choose. It's not us, and it's not them. It's your will that we want to have done. It's your side that we want to prosper. And we know, Lord, that our victory comes in you and in you alone. So help us to remember. Help us to stay close in new circumstances, every new day. And when we meet, our challenges, when we come up against our Jerichos, remind us, Lord, to take your side in all things. Amen.